Hey, everybody. It's the Great Debates again. I'm here with Steve Healy and Dave King in the Great Debates studios.
Yeah, baby.
It's hot. It's hot in here.
I'm psyched, man. We got a steamy one. I think it's going to get the blood going.
Yeah, this is going to be like debating on a steamer going up the Amazon.
We've got a suitable topic for the temperature in the studio. Are you guys ready for a quick micro debate? Is there a timer prepared?
Yeah, set to cosmic. It's awesome.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, hit me.
The topic up for debate: Jennifer Lawrence is more beautiful than Vanessa Hudgens.
I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro as usual. I think this is pretty obvious. America has spoken. There's Vanessa Hudgens. She's gorgeous, but most of what she has is youth. She has a special kind of beauty that comes from her very diverse background. Her father is Irish and Native American. Her mother, born in the Philippines, I believe is a native Chinese person, Chinese-Filipina. And she's lovely. Let's not take anything away from Vanessa, but Jennifer Lawrence is beautiful on the movie star level. She's been showing it over and over again. People are flocking to the big screen to see her in just about anything. And she knocks Hudgens out of the water. Hudgens is a B-grade TV-level cutie pie. And Jennifer Lawrence is one of the great beauties of our generation. That's the end of my closing argument.
Yeah, movie star level generally just means like you have a big head and big features. Movie star beauty is something other than natural beauty. It's other than the kind of beauty that is captured in real life.
Is that where Hudgens has been?
Yeah.
High School Musical 3, that was kind of real life.
Well, I'm not saying she's, in addition to being gorgeous in real life, she's gorgeous enough to
be
gorgeous on
real life. Let's start there.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
But what I see in Vanessa Hudgens is a beauty, is an otherworldly beauty. Jennifer Lawrence is girl next door pretty, but I hate to do this, but she has flaws. And Vanessa Hudgens has no flaws. So when
okay,
I look
first at, of all, yeah, that's crazy. Second of all, this is pretty wrong. Thirdly, I'd argue flaws are part of any of the great beauties.
No, that's not true.
Your Cindy Crawfords, your Bridget Bardot's,
your Elephant
Man's,
your Wallace Shawn's.
What do you think are Jennifer Lawrence's flaw, quote unquote flaws?
I think her chin is too big. We're both looking at a picture of her right now.
Her chin is too big?
Yeah, it's a little too big. I think
it's
her
stately. She looks like Aphrodite, actually more like Athena.
I think her eyes look a little
strength.
Glazed over.
You know what?
Or
you know what actually really is the difference? I think is that
I mean she's gorgeous. I'm not saying she's. I'm just saying look at Vanessa Hudgens.
Vanessa Hudgens is really cute, but look at them and what Lawrence has that Hudgens doesn't have is strength.
What are you
and
talking
that's really
about?
Like an important quality in beauty that's underestimated. Yeah,
that's such a bullshit appeal to to women and feminists to be like.
We're
all feminists. Whatever
about this micro debate.
No, that's true. But that's why you're trying to save it by going like, what Jennifer Lawrence has is strength.
No,
and
I'm
that's
not.
What makes her beautiful.
No, I'm not. She looks healthier and ruddier and like a better mother for your children.
That's insane. Vanessa Hudgens looks like the most fertile woman on. She looks like she's constantly ovulating.
I don't
just
know
look at her. Just stare into her eyes.
It's
okay,
hard.
Here's the thing: eyes Hudgens, nose Hudgens, mouth Hudgens, chin Hudgens in a walk, hair Hudgens.
I mean, sort of just like yelling.
Sorry, bud.
The idea of elevating the debate over which girl is hotter to sort of an intellectual analysis.
Is that what that was?
Who do you think is more beautiful, Medina?
You know, I think face Hudgens.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe tie everything
maybe
else.
Tie. They're both gorgeous. I mean, what are we doing?
What's
it's horrible to talk about. Oh, wait, Healy, you wanted me to.
Splitting hairs a bit.
What's that?
Splitting hairs a little bit.
You wanted me to announce my original intentions.
Oh, yeah. You did have to change. You said you wanted to. When we talked about this topic, you wanted to take Selena Gomez, but you were thinking of Vanessa Hudgens.
I think what happened was, in my mind, I was picturing Vanessa Hudgens.
To me, I think I won the debate right there because Hudgens. There's a million Hudgenses, right? There's a million girls about that level.
No, it's
her and Selena and whatever. Serena?
Selena.
I think Selena that Gomez. What blurs the whole thing is that Jennifer Lawrence is maybe a better actress.
For sure.
And I don't know. I think
a bit more adult, I would say.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. Winter's so Bone, she's amazing in Winter's Bone. And then it's like, oh, well, I don't know.
You're really going to be one of these Winter's Bone snobs.
What is wrong with that? It's a better, it's her best movie. And she's the best in that than she is, that she, like, she's better in that than any other movie she's in. Yeah, I'm going to be a Winter's Bone snob. Sorry.
Did you see the Hunger Games movies?
Yeah, I saw the, whichever the most recent one is. Really? I saw that one.
Why?
Because we were, like, Esther and I were out, and we just kind of wanted to, like, a pure escape movie.
Whoa.
And so we did that.
Did you like it?
It was all right. No.
Have you seen the Hunger Games?
I love them.
Really?
Yeah, I think they're really great movies, actually.
Wow.
You like the first one?
I did.
Really?
I liked the second one better than the first one.
Oh, I didn't. Wait, I haven't seen Mockingjay yet. I was like really bummed out. I actually sort of thought they should have got the woman who directed Winter's Bone to put like some of that realness spin on the first one.
What do you want? Yeah, but then they would have lost
a whole chunk of their audience, I think, to appeal to you. and your Winter's Bone snobbery. But you didn't find it to be exciting and exhilarating and a ride and all of that stuff? Like movies are like classic cinema?
I was having a weird experience at the cinema.
Okay, well, see, it was colored.
Yeah, it was definitely colored.
Right. What happened? Is it worth discussing here on Host Chat?
Sure, this is Host Chat. This is when we discuss this stuff. So it was like the day that the movie came out, and it was like 4 p.m. on a Friday, and I wasn't working at the time. And so I walked down to the Grove, which is a short walk from my house. And on the way, I passed a line of very angry people who were in formal gowns wear, waiting to go in, I guess, to Dancing with the Stars at CBS, because it was the middle of the hot afternoon, and they were standing in the sun, agitated, and a young person with a clipboard was, like, herding them and talking into a mic with an earpiece, and I was like, oh, God, like, we're living in the Hunger Games. It's already happening around us. Why am I going to see this movie? Then I went in, and I thought the movie would be packed. It was the opening day, whatever, but there was nobody in the movie theater. Huh. And this was just after the Grove had started assigned seating. Like, when you went on the screen, you picked your own seat.
We know what assigned seating is. Okay, everyone understands that concept.
The only person who came into the movie theater was a Hispanic girl who was maybe 15 years old, and she came in holding a huge popcorn and a huge soda. And she walked down, she looked at her ticket, and came over and sat right down next to me.
What?
Which, if she had to pick her seat, she must have deliberately chosen the seat, you know, instead of picking the whole theater. Or maybe she thought, like, that was the, who knows?
Is it possible that it was automated, and she got an auto?
Totally, totally.
Okay.
So then she sat down next to me. And she goes, there's only two, we're the only people here, and they put us next to each other. Isn't that strange? And I was like, then I said, just trying to be nice, I was like, I think the theater is empty. You can probably sit wherever you want. And she goes, are you trying to get rid of me?
Yes.
And I was like, no, it's fine. And then she's like, I'm going to spread out. And she lifted up the armrest on the seat next to her and laid down, like, with her head at my lap.
What?
Wow. Her feet extended out into the next seat, and that's how I watched the Hunger Games.
That sounds wild.
Yeah, it was a trip.
And how long have you guys been married?
Well, we've been divorced now 3 years.
Did anyone else come in?
No, not really. Maybe one or two people that sat somewhere else, but
not really.
To speak of, yeah,
not really.
Yeah, I might have found it hard to
focus on the movie. Whatever.
That was cool.
Yeah, that's great, man. Well, I think we should focus on another debate topic.
I'm ready. Healy, are you ready?
Yeah, always.
Okay. Look alive. Look alive, man. Hands on your knees.
The heat is really...
Is it that bad? Are we talking good? No, guys, we got to power through. I'm sorry.
Hey, we play in all weather, right?
That's exactly right. Think about the number of classic 19th century debates that took place in the... In the blistering
heat. Lincoln and Douglas, they must have been sweating like frogs.
Oh, God,
right?
Yeah.
And they've driven in cabins or ridden horses there. Must have smelled awful.
Okay, so the topic for the main event today, you should get popcorn at the movies.
You should get popcorn at the movies. Steve Healy, I'm the pro as usual, and I think you should get popcorn at the movies.
Yeah.
Look, not everybody likes popcorn. Sometimes you don't want popcorn. That's not really what we're going to debate here. We're going to debate on principle, you should get popcorn when you go to the movies. Why? Because it's part of the movie-going experience. It's a hand food you can shovel into your mouth without looking at it. But more important than the delicious taste of popcorn, get it with butter, get it without butter, whatever you want. I know people are health conscious these days, and popcorn, like most whole grains, is full of antioxidants and fibers. But you can mess it up as much as you want. I think you should throw some butter and salt on there and have a good time. You're at the movies. You're treating yourself. Have fun. But really, it's not just about the snacking. It's about what popcorn brings to the movie-going experience. Popcorn is part of the movies. It brings up the nostalgia of going to the movies when you were a kid. And it creates the atmosphere in the theater that we love about the movies. Popcorn has been part of the movies at least since the 1920s. People have been enjoying it. They've been leaving crushed kernels on the movie theater floor. Empty cartons of popcorn rattling in the darkness is part of the movie-going experience. So I want to encourage you to get popcorn when you go to the movies. Meet your lover's hand as you reach down.
What?
You know, you're reaching down into the bag of popcorn, oh. And you grace your lover's hand. Or perhaps a friend who you would like to be a lover. Or just a buddy.
Okay, that's your opening statement?
Yeah, you know.
That you might touch a buddy?
You might touch your buddy.
I don't know what sort of movie-going fascist you are that you're going to insist that everybody who goes to the movies gets popcorn.
I didn't say everybody.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't say everybody get popcorn. The topic's not everybody get popcorn at the movies. You should get popcorn at the movies.
Oh, yeah. So you're saying you have some wiggle room here because
whatever, just
you should,
be cool.
But if you don't, then you made
come
a mistake.
On.
But
we get the topic. Okay. You should get popcorn at the movies.
Okay, there's so many problems with popcorn at the movies. I'm just going to go through a couple of them right now.
It gets stuck in your teeth.
You know, just because you say it in that kind of voice doesn't mean that it's not true. It does get stuck in your teeth, and it's a huge problem.
That's like the number one law of great debates. Is what? That, you know, you're going to hear your arguments put back to you in a terrible voice. That doesn't make them untrue.
Also, you're going to say your arguments in a terrible voice because we both have nasally, whiny voices that for some reason people are listening
to. I kind of feel we're getting a little better.
I'm not.
These
are opening statements. Oh. That's a great point, Mark. Thank you. Okay. There's so many better options at the movies. You could get Swedish fish. Who doesn't love Swedish fish? Opening statements. You could get Cracker Jacks, which is basically just like popcorn plus. What's your favorite candy? You can get that at the movies. Such an economic waste. They're just raking in profit on this popcorn because it costs them nothing and it costs you a fortune. It's a waste of your resources. Here's another issue. What if you're full? What if you don't want to eat anything at all? Why would you have to get popcorn? Why can't you just sit in a nice movie theater for 2 hours and watch Lincoln? Why do you have to get popcorn? And finally, it distracts you from the movie. It's noisy and it makes you think about the popcorn instead of the movie. I want to be thinking about the movie. And is it a great tradition? Is it bring back nostalgia? Sure, it does. Some of you should put butter on it. Some of you don't have to. Sure. Just as, you know, some of your slaves should work in the field and some should be in the house. Healy, you're wincing. Was that a mistake? My point is tradition isn't always a good thing. I'm not comparing popcorn to slavery. Okay, I take that back. I did compare eating popcorn to slavery. The larger point is that we've done things for decades and centuries doesn't mean that's necessarily a good thing. Do what you want. You don't have to get popcorn if you don't want to. Free skate.
Okay, free skate's declared. I have to say, I love the great debates. It's one of my favorite things to do. I really love to come over here and debate with you. But there, I don't know if it's part of the pleasure of great debates is sitting here enforced silence during your opening statement and having steam come out of my ears as I listen to your frivolous, misguided, hollow arguments. Swedish fish are terrible, first of all.
Well, okay,
they're garbage.
So I love Swedish.
Cracker Jack is terrible. It's garbage. It's just ruined, crustified popcorn. You can't even get it at most movie theaters.
Okay,
That's your opening statement.
And my larger point here is that you can get Swedish fish are one of my favorite candies. You can get whatever you want at most movie theaters now. You can get ice cream. You can get drinks. You could go to if you're an
ice
arc
cream.
Light, you can
you get
hot dogs.
Ice cream? That ice, there's no way some of that ice cream isn't ending up on your shirt if you're in the darkness of the movie theater.
By the way, popcorn gets
also
all
probably,
over you.
When you get ice cream at the movies and it comes in a little Dixie or whatever, it's probably frozen way too solid, and you're going to have to chip away at it with that spoon like you're fucking Shackleton in Antarctica, or it's going to be melting and dribbling all over your hands and stuff. It's going to be nasty. Popcorn is the perfect movie snack.
You can get nachos if you want. You can
oh
get
cheese. My
why
God!
Not, why not let everyone decide what their own best favorite snack is at the movies instead of making them get popcorn?
We're not talking about there should be a law ordering you to get popcorn in the movies. It's you should. That's what you should
but
get.
But why not just say you should get whatever you want at the movies if you get anything at all?
But
why
I'm telling you what you should get is popcorn. That's what you should get. There's a right answer here.
But how can you rationalize spending $6 on a bag of something that costs 30 cents?
Not everybody lives in LA, Dave. Popcorn isn't $6 and like.
Well, it may not be $6, but wherever you are in America, popcorn is usually the most marked up item in a concession booth at the movie theater.
I gotta say, there's truth, and it's a separate discussion that popcorn is overpriced at the movies. That is a problem, but you should still be getting it.
So you're saying despite its ridiculous markup...
The reason why it's so marked up is because most people know they should get it at the movies. They know they should get popcorn, and so the movie theaters... Wrongly.
That's gotta be the word you were looking for. That's gotta be it.
I want to say inscrutable, but that's not right. What unscrupulously. They unscrupulously charge you too much because they know you're gonna get it they know you should get it.
Why feed into the system?
Well,
then?
That's wrong. You know, it's wrong, but you can't give up on popcorn.
You
a
can.
Separate discussion. There should be a campaign to get movie theaters to lower the price of popcorn because you should get popcorn at the movies and it's too expensive.
Let me tell you something. Here's what happens when I go to the movies and I get popcorn. I'm suddenly consumed. I don't want to say consumed. I've got another thing to worry about, which is did I eat too much? How much do I eat during the previews? Oh my God, look at this. The previews aren't even over and I ate a third of the bag. Now I'm worried that
I
ate too
usually
much.
Scarf down my whole bag before the movie's 10
and
minutes
then you
in.
And then you feel like garbage.
No,
and
then
you've got
then
stuff
you
in your teeth
chill.
For the whole movie.
It's part of the rhythm of the movie going experience. You dive in your popcorn and as the movie engages, first of all, if you find yourself, you're still eating the popcorn in like the second act of the movie, something's gone wrong in the movie. Like that's a good.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's a good
that's
measure
to save the cat,
of the movie.
Right?
Well, I think actually we could come up with a theory of popcorn in movie going where like you can tell if you're eating your popcorn in certain ways that the movie's flawed.
I don't think we could do that. I think that's ridiculous. I think there are many better indicators of whether a movie is good or structurally sound or not than how much popcorn are you eating at different
Trust
intervals.
Trust your
in,
gut. And your gut is going to act through your hand as it's putting popcorn into your mouth.
I mean, do you really like do you ever eat popcorn outside of a movie theater?
No, get it at the movies. Sometimes at baseball games, I like to
eat. It just proves that you're like fooling yourself into thinking that popcorn is something that you like. Anything that's context dependent means that that you're not actually enjoying it, you're just thinking that you're enjoying it.
No, that's not true. A lot of great stuff is context dependent.
Like tomato juice on an airplane.
Yeah.
You think it's like, yeah, that was great. Get tomato juice on an airplane because you like it more on an airplane.
Some experiences are well matched to some place. If you're in Oaxaca, Mexico, should you drink scotch? I don't think so. You should probably have some mezcal. If you're in rainy Scotland, have a scotch.
Well, there's a reason that the quality, that's a quality issue. The quality of scotch is better
in
Scotland.
You're sitting in your backyard having a barbecue. Probably a beer is going to be preferable to red wine.
Maybe. Right? I don't know. Maybe. But you know what, Healy? I would say yes, but I also would not say you should have a beer at a barbecue. I would say do what you want at a barbecue. You should have what you want at a barbecue. You chose the wording on this one. You chose you should get popcorn at the movies. I think it's time for closing statements.
It's time for closing statements. I think you should get popcorn at the movies. I think it's part of what makes movie going magical. If you want to be Dave and try and work out some utilitarian, practical way to more efficiently experience the movies, then don't get popcorn. But if you want to maximize your movie going experience, be part of the great tradition of going to the cinema, create a wonderful atmosphere in the theater, create a wonderful atmosphere for yourself, give yourself something stimulating, something fun that won't distract you, but will in fact enhance the movie going experience, then you should get popcorn at the movies.
Don't get popcorn at the movies unless you want to. I don't need a closing statement. The people already understand what I'm saying. You have options. Eat what you want. Do what you want. It distracts from the movie going experience. You think that you're going to like it, but in reality, it's going to get in your teeth. It's going to make you feel like crap. It's gonna like, if you go before dinner, it's gonna ruin your appetite. If you go after dinner, you're still gonna want dessert. What a mess. Now you've really got yourself into a hole. And I never heard Healy rebut the slavery argument. That's my closing statement.
Mark, what do you think?
I just witnessed a battle. That was excellent points on both sides. I'm gonna need a few months to think about it.
Okay, get back to us in a few months. Dave, let's be real. What do you think about popcorn? Do you get popcorn at the movies? What's your attitude?
I sometimes get popcorn at the movies.
Yeah,
but sometimes it's right. Fine.
Yeah.
Well, this was a waste of everyone's time.
I think it was great. It was a good debate. I got worked up. I felt excited. I felt the thrill of combat. It was great.
Yeah. All right. See you next time.
Something takes a part of me. Something lost and never seen. Every time I start to believe, something is raped and taken from me. Feeling like a freak on a leash. Feeling like I have no release. How many times have I felt diseased? Nothing in my life is free, is free.